Did you know that the United States is flirting with the Antichrist spirit? I want you to stay with me. This is a very important message. But let me share a few things with you up front, sort of as an introduction. More people are beginning to understand or desiring to understand what the Bible teaches about prophetic events because we are living in the age when many prophecies that were recorded sometimes 2,000 to 3,000 to 4,000 years ago are beginning to either appear to take place or some of them are aligning to take place, and some have taken place. So one of the things that's happening is people now have social media where they can read social media posts. They have videos through different types of social media formats that they can watch. We now have online churches. I know that we have a Tuesday night service at the Omega Center International, which goes online every Tuesday. There are now resources available that were never available before. In fact, our entire ministry for almost 49 years has been built on audio and video and printed resources to make them available to the people to help keep our ministry going, and also to give them a tool in their hands that they can learn fresh insight and information on. Now, I went to, and looked up some statistics the other day, and I thought these were very interesting about here in the United States of America what people actually believe. Now, according to this poll research, there were 39% of Americans that believe we are living in the end times or the time of the end. So that's 39%. Now, I would suggest to you that probably 20 years ago, that number was a little higher. But what is happening is you have the older generation that believed in prophecy. They followed men like Jack Van Impe, Hal Lindsey, some of the, what we call them, the grandfathers of modern-day prophetic teaching because they revived it. David Wilkerson was another one. And a lot of them have gone to be with the Lord. So those that really followed prophecy have gone to be with the Lord. I know in our partnership, we've had about 40% of our original partners that are now with Jesus. So that's why that number may be hanging around 39%, as I said a moment ago, that believe in the end times. Now, 55% of Americans believe in the return of Jesus Christ. Now, out of that 55%, not all of them believe in what is called the rapture. Some of them believe in just a return at the end of the tribulation or at different times. But that's a pretty high number. I don't understand how 39% can say that we believe in the end times. 55% say they believe in the return of the Lord, but apparently they don't believe, or at least let's say it looks to me like maybe 14% don't believe that we're in the actual time when Jesus is going to come back. According to that statistic, that's what it's showing. Most Christians that I've met believe in the Antichrist. He is a person. He will appear at the time of the end. He will be revealed in his own time. He will form a coalition of 10 nations who will work under him. He will also align himself with someone called the false prophet. This is in Revelation chapter 13. False prophet will initiate a mark for buying and selling known as the mark of the beast. But what we're dealing with today is not the Antichrist himself. What we're dealing with today is what we call the spirit of Antichrist. Now, when I talk about the spirit of Antichrist, I'm not talking about the Antichrist as a body, soul, and spirit, which he is. He's a man. And that the spirit is the spirit in that man. That's not what we're talking about. Let me explain to you about the spirit of Antichrist. You often hear people talk about the spirit of Elijah. These are the days of Elijah. Judy Jacobs sang that beautiful song. And the reason we talk about the spirit of Elijah, let's just go through this quickly. This will help explain something that some of you may have a question on. There was a man called Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 17 through 2 Kings chapter 2. He was, according to Scripture, transported alive into the heavens in a chariot of fire. I don't believe that's metaphorical. I believe it actually happened. He will also return at the end of days, according to the book of Malachi, chapter 4, verse 5, to be one of the two witnesses alluded to in Revelation 11, and will appear in Israel, and there he will be slain by the Antichrist after 42 months. So there's the man Elijah is in heaven being preserved till that time. Then there's what's called the spirit of Elijah. Now, John the Baptist's father when he heard he was going to have a son, the angel of Gabriel said to him, he will come in the spirit and power of Elijah, Luke 1:17. Some people believe he was Elijah, but he was not Elijah, because they asked him, are you Elijah? He said, no, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, saying, prepare the way of the Lord. He came in the same power or authority of Elijah. That's Luke 1:17. So that's called the spirit of Elijah, or we would say the anointing of Elijah. Now, as I said a moment ago, in the book of Malachi, it's very interesting because he talks about, I will send to you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and terrible day of the Lord, who returned the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. So another example we can find in Jude verse 11 that deals with this idea of the spirit of a person. Now, again, not the spirit dwelling in their body, but the characteristics of that person is Jude verse 11. In Jude 11, it speaks of Cain, Korah, and Balaam. And it speaks of all three of these individuals, these Old Testament persons who actually lived very negatively. Cain became jealous over his brother Abel's offering and slew him and murdered him. Korah, on the other hand, was jealous of the position that Aaron received, and he was jealous for the priesthood. He actually wanted to be the priest, the head priest of Israel. Then Balaam, if we read his story in the book of Numbers, he had a gift where he could prophesy things and it would happen. And he compromised that gift. And so when we talk about the spirit of Cain, we're talking about people that are jealous over other people's blessing. When we talk about the spirit of Korah, what we're talking about is someone who is jealous over ministry positions and will manipulate and connive their way into the top without God being a part of it at all. When we talk about Balaam, basically Balaam is known as a compromiser. We're talking about the spirit of compromise. Now, what I want to do now is I'm going to go to the New Testament, and I want to begin to show you some scriptures. They'll come up on the screen. There'll be, I believe I have three or four of them here. And I want you to look at these very carefully and look at what it says here. These are all verses about the Antichrist. And Antichrist, Christos, is the Greek word for Christ, and it actually means the anointed one. The Hebrew equivalent to it would be Mashiach, Messiah, which again means anointed one. But the Antichristos is the Antichrist. Now, John, who wrote St. John's Gospel, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and also wrote the Apocalypse, the book of Revelation, is the person that scholars believe actually coined. When I say coined, that means came up with this word Antichrist. Listen to what it says. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you know, you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. And then another verse is here. Who is a liar but he that denieth, that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. That's 1 John 2:22. Here's the third verse. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. The fourth verse, the 2 John verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So here's what I want to say. If you want to know the definition of what the term antichrist means, and if you want to know what the spirit of antichrist is, these four verses will clearly reveal it to you. First of all, you know, America is definitely, you know, flirting with that spirit. But there's some things I want to tell you. Let's look at this carefully. Who is the Antichrist? First of all, he's a man. Because the New Testament, when it deals with the Antichrist, uses the pronouns he or him. And it also teaches in 2 Thessalonians 2 that the Antichrist is going to be revealed in his time. There's a set time for him to be revealed. Number two, the Antichrist believes that Jesus is not the Son of God. That's one of the key points that the Apostle John pointed out in this passage, is the Antichrist will deny Jesus is the Son of God. Now, there are major religions in the world, many of them in the Middle East, not true Christianity, but other religions that say that Jesus is not the Son of God. The Antichrist believes or has a belief that denies the relationship of the Father and the Son. For example, Jesus is not the Son of God according to this belief, so therefore he has no relationship to God the Father. He's only a prophet or a good teacher. Then the belief teaches us, and this is all in these four scriptures I just shared with you, that Jesus never came in the flesh. Now, there are some people in the time of the early church, they were considered heretics, but they actually believe that Jesus came in the form of an angel, the way angels appeared in Genesis 19 in the Old Testament. So he was an angel in the flesh. No, he was all man. He was all God. He is called in Scripture the Son of God. But let me tell you this. America is flirting with the spirit of Antichrist. What's the spirit of Antichrist? It's the things I just now named. For example, more Americans are now believing that Jesus was only a great teacher, just like any other great religious teacher. Now, the problem with that theory is I can't find that all of the other religions in the world had teachers that could absolutely raise the dead or perform miracles. So how can Jesus simply be another teacher of many teachers when he confirmed who he was by signs and wonders and miracles? Show me any other religious teacher that walked on water. Show me any other religious teacher that could literally raise the dead. Show me any other religious teacher who could open up deaf ears, cause those who could not speak to speak, and perform the miracles he performed. Show me another teacher that could turn water to wine. I mean, we could go on and on. Show me another religious teacher that could multiply bread and fish and feed a multitude. So Jesus is not just one of the great teachers. He is far above that. Then we hear people today flirting with the spirit of Antichrist, not only in America, but Canada, all the parts of the world. We hear them say, well, Jesus is not the only way to heaven. I have a question for you. If Jesus Christ is not the only way to heaven, and religions that are older than Christianity existed before the time of Christ, and religions existed 5th, 6th, and 7th century that were new religions after the time of Christ, here's my question for you. If Jesus is not the only way, why even send him to the earth? What was the whole purpose of sending Christ 30 years of age to begin his ministry, 3.5 years to preach and teach, have him crucified, buried, and raised from the dead, if there was not a divine purpose for it? Because if another religion could get me to heaven, God would have never had to send Jesus. If any other world religion prior to or thereafter Christianity was sufficient, Jesus would have never had to come to earth. Because Jesus had to come to earth to bring redemption to mankind. Now, the third, and I call this spirit of Antichrist argument, it's very clear, and I'm just in Scripture, folks, if you've never heard this, is to deny that Jesus is a Son of God. Now, this is a really big issue. Yet, Gabriel in the book of Luke said he shall be called the Son of God. The man of Gadara, the demons that possessed the man, called him the Son of God. I know who you are, the Son of God. The centurion at the cross, when Christ was dying and breathed his last breath, said, truly, this was the Son of God. So I had something interesting happening in Jerusalem, and I want to share this with you. Some time ago, when we were on a Holy Land trip, we were taping on the Mount of Olives, and I had a distinguished Muslim gentleman come up to me, and he was listening intently. My message that day was on the power of the blood of Jesus and the power of the blood of Jesus to forgive sin. Well, I had mentioned Jesus being the Son of God, and he wasn't belligerent in any way. He said, sir, I'd like to talk to you and ask you some questions. I said, absolutely. First, I told him that I did have a lot of Muslim friends in the Middle East, and just to kind of get off on a good foot there, you might say. So he says, I do not understand this about the blood of Jesus and forgiveness of sins and him being the Son of God. And I said, well, okay, I'm a father. And this is what I told him. I'm a father. I have a son named Jonathan. Now, here's what makes Jonathan my son. Number one, he carries my blood, because they can prove who the actual father of a child is by blood testing, because he carries the same, somehow, the DNA. So he carries my blood. The second thing he carries is my name. His last name is Stone. My last name is Stone. So he carries my name. He is my son because he has my blood and he carries my name. I said, thirdly, he looks like me. Now, not all sons may look like their biological father, but I said, he has my look. People say, look, that looks like Perry when he was younger. And I said, fourthly, he has my love. He cannot get away from my love. I love him and he loves me. And then I said to the man, this is what makes Jesus the Son of God. Number one is the blood. I said, the Quran even teaches that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. Is that right? He said, yes. Isa ben Maryam, she was a virgin. I said, where did the blood come from? And he looked puzzled. And I said, now think about this. It takes the seed of a man to help create the blood type of the child. And Mary was a virgin. She did not know a man. You even said the Holy Spirit blew on her. We believe that the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. And he looked puzzled for a moment. I said, so his blood was special. I said, in Philippians 2:19, it said that God gave him a name that's above every name, that at his name every knee should bow and confess that he is Lord. And also, Jesus talked about how he came to exalt the Father, and the Father exalted him, and you must pray to the Father in his name. So the name of the Almighty God is connected with the name Yeshua or Jesus. I said, number three, this is interesting. John 14, verse 9, Jesus said this, he that has seen me has seen the Father. He carried the Father's look. Now, not necessarily physically, because God is a spirit. But what Jesus was saying is this, when you see me forgive a woman in adultery, I'm doing the works of my Father. When you see me take someone and tell them their sin is forgiven and heal them, you are seeing the Father. In other words, you had a perception of God under the old covenant, under the Old Testament, that he's always mad and he was always angry. But Jesus said, here I have come to show you what God is really like. He loves people. John 3:16 sums it up. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So those things, which are, again, let me go over this with you. Those four things are carrying the blood, the name, the look, and the love, which Jesus did. This makes him the Son of God because he and his Father are one. Now, what is also interesting is I talked to another man who was Muslim, and we were talking about the surahs or the verses in the Quran, and we were talking about the Virgin Mary and how that Isa, that's the Arabic name or the name used for Jesus, Isa, but I'll say Jesus so you'll understand, that Jesus had no earthly father, and we were talking about where did his blood come from. But what he told me, he says, well, here's what happened to Isa. At the crucifixion, this was a Muslim man now, at the crucifixion, Jesus was never crucified. Someone replaced him. And God then allowed Jesus to go to heaven, and God rebuked Jesus and said, you told people that you were not the Son of God. You will go back at the end of days. You will tell them you are not my son. Now, if you want to know prophetically that idea is in Revelation 13, when you have the beast rising up out of the earth and the beast rising up out of the sea, the Antichrist, the false prophet, that will be when that theory, not that it was a Bible-based theory, but the theory, let me just explain it this way. That's a belief among 1.4 billion people today. And John knew when he wrote the book of Revelation based on the revelation Jesus gave him that that type of thing would happen at the time of the end. Okay, so in other words, they believe that Jesus was never crucified. So they have a real problem with the idea of him being a son. So here's what I said to the man. I said, is it true that in your teaching you believe that no man can stand before God and live because God is glorious and powerful and light? So a human man is not able to stand before God. And he said, yes, I would say that we believe that. I said, no, wait a minute. If you tell me that Jesus was only a prophet and only a man, how was he able to be transported to heaven and in his body, if he wasn't crucified, and not be burnt or destroyed according to your belief, because no human man can stand before God and live? And I'm telling you, I think it was between a light bulb going on and just a sudden, I guess, a reality. And he said, honestly, you've got me there. I don't know the answer. So I would suggest this to you that may be of different beliefs, that you have to research not just what you believe, but research with it other beliefs and see if there's anything that proves it or disproves it. And then you have to go into an evaluation of what truth is. All right. That's just my suggestion to you if you're watching around the world. I will say this, though, to those living in the West. It is time to stop compromising the gospel. It is time to quit pick and choosing what you want to believe based on your personal opinions or your personal preferences. This is not a cafeteria where you walk in and just choose what you want and reject what you don't. You must believe the gospel. And the gospels are the four gospels about who Jesus was, how he was born, how he was conceived of the Holy Ghost, and how the angel Gabriel said, this child will be called the Son of God. You have to understand that. We must quit compromising who he is. We must believe who he is, not who he was, not the historic. See, here's what we got a problem with. We have so many people that do accept, in most major religions, they accept the historic Jesus. But Jesus is not just a figure of history. He is not just a person who started a global religion. And I want to say this to you, and I'm going to do this a little differently. I believe Jesus is born of the Virgin Mary, conceived of the Holy Ghost, the Son of God, based on Scripture, based on Scripture. But I want to say this. If I believe that, and I show that to you from the Word, and you reject it, that's a very heavy responsibility to carry. So I want you to pray to Almighty God, the true one and only God. And I want you to ask him, please reveal to me who this man Jesus is. Can I tell you something? You'll have a dream. You'll have a vision. You'll have a visitation. And once it happens, I want you to contact me and give me your testimony, because I'd love to hear from you anywhere outside the U.S. or even the U.S. or around the world. I'm only trying to share with you truth, because Jesus brings eternal life, and that's nothing no other religion or leader can guarantee. Well, I've got some things to share with you. Stay to the end, because I'd like to minister to you, and I want to share some things with you. Our special offer is significant. Right now, there has been more interest in the book of Revelation called the Apocalypse than there has been in the history, to my knowledge, of Christianity in the United States. People are saying, is this in the book of Revelation? Are the viruses, the earthquakes, the locusts, is this a part of what preachers have told us for years, the time of the end? And the answer is yes. What I did, I have in my hand an album that has seven DVDs, not CDs, but DVDs, with charts, maps, scriptures, and detail, which is a study of the entire book of Revelation from chapter 1 all the way to the Amen in chapter 22. Here are some of the DVDs. The Apocalypse Code and the Heavenly Temple, the Heavenly Throne Room, the Priesthood and the Beginning of the Tribulation, the Two Witnesses, the Bema, the Dragon, and the Kingdom of the Beast. Here's another one. The Islamic Antichrist, the False Prophet, and the Empire of the Beast. Another one is the Mysterious Mark 666, the Mysterious Woman, and Mystery Babylon. And here's a great one. The Millennial Code, the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth as King. We also have one when Satan is bound and heaven comes down. It took me years of putting the outline together. It took me years of doing the Greek word studies, the historical studies, the studies from the early fathers. So you actually are getting a Bible school teaching here. And so I want to make the Apocalypse Code available to you right now at a very special price. Now remember, these are seven DVDs. This is about 14 hours of teaching, and we want to make it available at a special price of $75. It will come in this beautiful album. You can go to perrystone.org, 1-888-21-BREAD, or you can go write me at Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320. There's an offer number. You must include that number, and we will know that's what you're ordering. And again, a donation of $75 or more will get you this album, and we will use it for 100% ministry. You're going to learn a lot. Get ready. God bless you. Well, thank you so much for joining me. Now, I always tell people, keep watching the entirety of our program, or whether it's you're watching on whatever, social media or television, because sometimes some very important announcements are coming up toward the end. We always want to give you a few moments to see where I'm going to be ministering. And this is the month of October, October 22nd, at Nicholasville, Kentucky, Christ Embassy. and that will be one service only. And then on October 24th and 25th, this is Nick Walker Ministries is hosting a meeting, a very special conference, Firebrand Conference, at the Beckley, West Virginia Armory. And all of you up in that part of West Virginia know where that is. You can go to Nick Walker Ministries for information on that. And then we go to November the 2nd and 3rd, and that'll be a Sunday and Monday, to Abundant Life Christian Center in Lamarck, Texas. I became sick in February, and I just wasn't able to come, and I'm looking forward. We're going to make up some time in the Spirit when we get to Lamarck this year, so come and be with me. And then we're going to be coming on November the 9th back to Cartersville, Georgia, Pastor Barry Garland at New Beginnings in Cartersville, and we had a great service there last time. We want you to come and be a part. And finally, on November the 16th, I'll be preaching the morning service for Pastor Michael Boggs at Rivers of Living Water Church in Elkins, West Virginia, Sunday morning. So please keep what I'm about to tell you in mind. Number one, perrystone.org is our ministry website where you can get just tons of resource material updates. Number two, remember that we have a partnership ministry, and you can go to perrystone.org for total information on that. Number three, I want you to remember that we have great conferences coming up next year. The end of March will be Warrior Fest. The end of April will be the International Prophetic Summit. And of course, October will be the great main event. The other thing I want to share with you that's very important is concerning our social media, and that we need literally hundreds of thousands of you. I wish that many would respond. To go to our YouTube channel, Perry Stone YouTube channel, and make sure it's me, okay? And subscribe to our YouTube channel, because we're trying to get over 1 million subscribers. And if we do that, it helps us in so many ways. So I want the overseas people who love our ministry to respond to that, if you will, please. Now, a couple other things. We have a service. I don't always preach it, by the way, but we have a service every Tuesday night. I preach about once every 5 or 6 weeks by choice. That's just by choice, at the Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee. We'd love to have you come and visit. Thursday nights at 6 to 7 East Coast time, we have World Prayer from ISO, International School of the Word headquarters, and you can join us with prayer and also send in your prayer request. Now, God is going to do a lot of things. We're working on new material, resources, new books, but God is also opening doors to new stations, and He's also opening up some doors to eventually go and minister in overseas nations. I knew this day would come eventually, and I've kind of stayed here in America, but we do know the time is coming that we're going to have to do that, and we're going to have to do more lens of the cameras overseas, and that's what we're planning on doing, Lord willing. See you next week on Manifest.
Help amplify Perry's message and ministry by joining the Partner Strike Force today. As Perry's partner, you'll be supporting multiple outreach programs from Perry Stone Ministries. You'll also receive special access to premium events and materials, such as our Partner Strike Force website, live streamed prophetic updates, and more. Go to perrystone.org and sign up today.